Hello, everyone. It is Brenda Martin, Assistant Ag Fieldman with Flagstaff County. Today, we have Rob Spencer, owner-operator of Spencer Horticulture Solutions. He is going to be talking today about fruit trees.
You're listening to the official podcast of Flagstaff County.
So, Rob, can you tell us where we need to start at when we are growing some fruit trees?
Well, you know, the cool thing is that now there's so many options, and people realize that they don't have to just grow trees that are for shade or for blocking the wind or whatever. They can also integrate ones that they can eat. So the whole landscape becomes something you can make productive if you choose carefully. But if you're growing fruit trees and shrubs, the big thing would be to remember that they're going to need light because they're going to need lots of sun so they can ripen up. The more sun they get, the better they're going to be for ripening up and having sweet, healthy fruit. You're going to also have to make sure you choose your plants wisely. You know, most plants will grow fine in most soils, so you don't have to necessarily get carried away. If you know you have really heavy soils or, you know, might have drainage issues, that might become a problem. But overall, I mean, you're in the long haul, so they'll generally adjust. They maybe won't be as productive as, you know, if you had perfect soil, but if you can find something that at least it drains well, that's important. But yeah, when it comes to trees and shrubs, it's important to choose wisely, because you're investing in, you know, 20 to 50 years of time for some of these trees. For shrubs, you might be, you know, 20 to 30 years, but yeah, you want to just plant something and have this really pretty plant that doesn't produce anything. You want to make sure that it's actually going to give you the reason you put it in there, the fruit.
So just kind of make sure that your variety of tree that you're choosing matches more with the soil conditions that you have where
yeah.
you're planting.
Well, make sure you've taken into consideration all of it. Like if you're going to plant a tree, like a fruiting tree or shrub, you know, do the research of, you know, I want to have an apple, or I want to have a raspberry, or I want to have a black currant. What do I need to do to make sure that that plant's going to be healthy and happy and grow forever? Are there any problems that I might face? Do I need to consider that I might need more than one plant? You know, or lots of things like that. Like, you have to do a little bit of research so that you really get a sense of what are you putting in the ground? You know, what type of fruit do you want? Like I said, we'll use the apple as an example. Okay, so I want an apple, but do you want an apple for pies? Do you want an apple for just fresh eating? Do you want a crab mm-hmm. apple? Do you want something else for some other reason? Where do I live? You know, like, your hardiness zone matters so much with these perennial trees and shrubs, because in this case, it really does matter, and zones really do matter. And so you're going to need to pick something that's going to be able to survive the ups and downs and the really severe extremes that we get, because that, you know, that can be a real problem. And then knowing those limitations might help you to choose things carefully, because you might, you know, might also situate things so that they're a little sheltered, or they're not going to get, you know, beat down on the sun mm-hmm. in the winter and get warmed up and then have cracked trunks or whatever.
So then the planting area, we just want to make sure that it has lots of light, that the soil looks good.
Yeah.
And that we have enough room for those trees to with shelter.
Yeah. Room is really, yeah, it's a good point to bring up space. Like, you need to consider how big that thing is going to get, because when it's little, even if you bought a big, like a big apple tree, like I say a 10 gallon apple tree, it's going to be six, seven feet tall. You know, think, wow, that's a big tree. Well, consider it's going to be, you know, a whole lot bigger than that when it's fully mature. So consider the mature size so that you make sure that you have room, because nothing worse than you plant a tree when it's small, and then when it gets big, it's wrecked, because it's wrecking your house, or it's just, it's not suited. It's too crowded. You plant too many things too close mm-hmm. off the hop. And then when they get big, you either got to be a really aggressive pruner, or they get ruined from being too close to each other.
So just check their tags when you're out.
Keep an idea. Like I planted an orchard. Yeah. I planted stuff, and it looks like why did you plant stuff so far apart? Because I know that they're going to reach, you know, 15, 20 feet wide at the time. So when these things are full and big size, like in 20 years, I don't want them banging into each other. So I planted all my big trees in this community orchard I did. I planted them you know, 20 feet apart minimum on centers. So like, there's a huge amount of space for those things to grow. And I mean, I plan on pruning those,
yeah,
but I wanted to make sure that I had plenty of space for things to grow. So
plant to mature size then.
Well, yeah, or at least keep in mind what the mature size is going to be, and then realize that I'm going to have to maybe make some adjustments once this thing gets bigger. But don't just, you know, plant them. Well, this is nice. I'll put one here, and then 3 feet away, I'll put another one. And, you know, that's not going to, like, maybe you'll be okay for 5, 10 years, but eventually it's going to become a problem. You're going to have this big tangled mess.
And you won't have maximum production from each tree,
potentially. No, you will not. No, you will not. Although, I mean, but keep in mind, some plants you plant as a hedge or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. So it's okay. But trees typically give them some space.
Okay. Fertilizer. Everybody asks or thinks different times of fertilizing. What do you recommend for fertilizing times?
I'm pretty conservative when it comes to fertilizer. I think you should mostly fertilize in the spring or early summer. Try to avoid... You don't want to over-fertilize just a little bit. You don't want to be piling on the fertilizer. Just, you know, give them a small amount in the spring, just enough to help them sort of replenish some of that biomass and stuff that they lost mm-hmm. the previous year. And then let them go. Don't carry them through. Like, you don't want to keep fertilizing them all summer. You don't want to keep fertilizing them all the time. Hit them a bit in the spring, you know, whether it be a bit of a slow-release granular or something around the drip line, or... You know, maybe in the fall you put on some organic matter and incorporate that, some compost and manure, incorporate mm-hmm. that, and then leave it. Like, don't be, you know, don't try to feed them all the time. They don't need that. They otherwise will get soft and they get weak.
So what happens if I was to fertilize too late in the season?
Well, the idea is that they just don't stop. They don't stop growing. They you send signals to them that says, yeah, keep going. Just, or you keep goading them on, right? Oh yeah, you can keep growing. And then eventually they won't shut down in winter, and then they're winter killed, or they'll have injury or whatever. And so my suggestion is to always, you know, fertilize them a bit in the spring and then let them go. Same with watering. You can water them, you know, if it's hot and dry, especially when they're young, you might water them more, but, you know, give them a good deep watering and then shut it off. Like, sort of at the end of the summer, like early mid-August, start to dry them down a little bit, especially things like apples and stuff, because they don't pick up on the cues sometimes. And if they have water, they'll keep growing, and that will trigger more winter injury.
Is there certain pruning times that we should be pruning the fruit trees or fruit shrubs?
Yeah, pruning's fun. In a general rule, it's best to prune when you can see the branches, obviously. I mean, if you ever see diseased or dead or broken or dying branches, you can remove those at any time, as long as you can do it carefully without causing a great deal of problems, spreading disease or whatever. But if you see dead or dying stuff, you should theoretically remove it right away. But otherwise, do your pruning in the late winter, early spring, before the buds break, before the sap starts to flow. You can prune at other times, theoretically, for other reasons. But for general pruning, when you can see the branch and the structure, then you can, you know, cut off what you need, because otherwise you're just guessing what you're cutting at. For any of the shrubs, you know, you can prune at some point during the winter, the hardy ones for sure in the fall through the winter, but mm-hmm. anything that's sort of tender, sort of maybe later in the winter, so that you know what's going on. And late winter, like now, March, like February, March time, pruning is a good time, because again, you can see everything. It also, when they sort of wake up and start to go, they can channel all those resources that they would have wasted waking up all those other branches. They can channel those to the new growth and stuff. I like, for shrubs, I like to prune them like simply just to kind of remove anything that's super thick and that's contributing a great deal of height. So Saskatoons or other things, you're going to cut anything bigger than a toonie, and you're going to remove, say, up to 25% of the branches in a year. But basically, if you take out anything big every year right at the ground, you'll keep your height down quite a bit on some stuff like that.
So just remember that 2 inches in diameter, don't prune that out, or don't prune that out.
Yeah, take it out. Yeah, anything big, like toonie or bigger. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a toonie coin or bigger. Like for Saskatoons. I mean, for other ones, I mean, they're not typically going to get quite that, you know, monstrous. You may have to kind of thin them out different ways. But again, every plant is different. So if you're going to do anything complicated, you know, talk to an arborist, talk to somebody who might know, or do a little bit more digging about how to get the most out of that particular type of plant that you're dealing with.
Okay. What's the best care for newly planted fruit trees? Should we be putting fertilizer into the hole when we were planting them? Do you recommend that, or like a bone meal or anything? Or
yeah, you could, I mean, you could put some sort of a like granular stuff. There's there, you can get like mycorrhizal stuff that you can add, like that helps to encourage root growth. I generally like to try to give a little bit of a boost, like a fertilizer, like a high phosphorus fertilizer at planting. It isn't necessarily something you have to do. I generally do, just as a general rule, I always try to fertilize when I'm putting a plant in the ground, just a little bit. I mean, not, you know, so holding it down and force feeding it a lot of fertilizer. I'm just giving it a little bit of a shot to get it through until its roots get going.
Okay. Do you recommend like a plastic mulch or a wood chip covering around the base of the fruit tree?
Yeah, I like to do an organic mulch, like a bark mulch type thing, just because it holds moisture. It's going to cut down on some of that evaporative loss. It'll push back some of the weeds. I mean, you can do a like a landscape fabric or something, but you have to be careful that you don't get it too close to the trunk. Consider that the trunk's going to grow. And if you're, even if you're putting the bark mulch, you know, not right up against the trunk, think donut, not volcano. So you're not trying to form this teepee volcano of mulch. Yeah. You know, try to keep it out a bit so that it has a bit of open area around the base. But I mean, you could do landscape fabrics, but or whatever, but I prefer an organic mulch. It just is easier to work with.
How do you keep animals away from fruit trees? Lots of people have like deer infestation, rabbits, voles, and sap suckers visiting.
Yeah, that's tough. For things like the little critters, anything you can do to encourage predators to scare them away or whatever, to expose them is good. If you know that you've got things like rabbits or other things that are going to feed on the lower branches or lower trunk, you might consider a wrap, like just a temporary wrap for the winter, just to kind of, or a chicken wire wrap outward so that they can't get at it. Sometimes you have to kind of live and learn on that one, because you'll often see they're not going to eat right to the ground and up. They'll eat wherever the snow line is and up, because they're standing on top of the snow, and then they'll eat. And so you'll find, I remember seeing a fruit bush at my brother's place, and you could see where the snow line was, because everything above that, the rabbits had chewed up a good foot and a half and taken all the bark off, and those things were dead. But I mean, you could try anything that can scare them off or deter them with, you know, you can put up anything that kind of scares them away. For things like deer and moose and things, fence, like a good high fence is your best bet. But otherwise, I mean, you can try hanging soap. You can try hanging bags of hair. There are commercial like deterrents that are kind of taste ones you can kind of spread, and they're kind of, you just like spray them on, they're kind of a stink or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you find that you have sapsucker issues, either make sure that there's no issues with your tree, but otherwise you might put up mylar tape or a scare balloon or a hawk or some sort of thing that can scare them away. They're pretty persistent, but notice them early and then kind of say, okay, well, now what am I going to do? Why are they coming? What am I going to do? But otherwise, if you wait until they've really gone to town on that whole thing, on the whole tree, then I don't know that there's a whole lot you can do at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at trees, fruit trees, are there varieties that are more disease resistant, or is that quite a large, broad topic?
That's pretty broad. I mean, it just depends on which one it is. I mean, all of the cherries, like all the Prunus species, like whether the choke cherries or sour cherries or any of those ones, they're all susceptible to black knot. So there's not a lot you can do there. There really aren't that much in the way of resistant varieties for that. You know, with the apples and crabs and all that, they're susceptible, and pears and all that, they're all susceptible to fire blight. And again, not much you can do. There isn't much in the way of resistant varieties. Some might be more than other, but unless you know that there's a major problem, like you avoid certain things, maybe like maybe you don't put lots of choke cherries in, or if you're going to have choke cherries, be ready to pay attention for black knot and get it out as quick as you see it. Okay. Or if you know that the neighbor has this big old black knotty tree, maybe cherries are the wrong direction to go, because that one's going to be throwing out spores forever, and you're never going to, unless they control their problem, you're never going to be able to fix it. But plan for what you want, and then be ready to deal with things you don't want. Okay. So, you know, pick your fruit based on why you want it there. Not, I'm going to pick this one because it's not going to get this problem. Say, I want to have this fruit. What problems do I potentially face is a better direction to take, I think.
Okay. So picking types of fruit, do you have any recommendations on that?
Well, there's so many, there's lots of different fruits to try, and you do have to be careful, and because not all fruit is just going to, you plant a fruit tree and you're suddenly going to have, you know, all that fruit. Some of them need to have pollination from another variety or an entirely different species in some cases. And so you do have to do your research when you say, well, I'd like to have, you know, an apple, or I want to have this. What else do I need to make sure that I'm going to get fruit off it? Because it's going to take a few years for these things to get to a point where they're starting to produce fruit. Yep. Because a lot of them have a, you know, a 3 to 4 or more year juvenile period where they're not going to, like, they're going to take time to actually get to the point where they're grown up enough to be, to produce fruit. So,
okay.
So plan ahead so that you, everything's coming on at the same, like everything, you're ready. So you don't just, oh, well, it's been 5 years and I haven't had any fruit, or it's been 10 years and I haven't had any fruit. What's going on? Well, you were never going to, because you just don't have the pollination that's needed. So let's talk about some of the different fruits specifically. And it's a whole, it's a mythical area of to deal with, but like there's some fruits that they're self-compatible. They don't care. They don't need another variety. You could plant one and it's fine. So strawberries, raspberries, sour cherries, Saskatoons, which are all ones that we grow fairly regularly. Those ones are good. No worries. They're self-fruitful. They're self-compatible. They don't need other varieties to do it. Nature's going to work itself out as long as the flowers survive frost. Mm-hmm. So the only thing you'd be considering with those is, are they going to survive winter? And are the flowers going to get frozen in the spring? So picking varieties that are going to come at the right time, but all of those ones typically you pick, you're going to be okay. Like they're pretty resilient. Now, when we get into some of that, there's other ones that can get a little bit more complicated, but we'll shift to the other end of the spectrum where they're definitely self-incompatible, where they need one or two or more other varieties or other species to, in order to get a good fruit set. So things like apples and crabs mm-hmm. are self-incompatible. So you can't just plant an apple. You need another apple type to be able, another variety or another apple to pollinate it. So, but crabs are good. The one thing you could think of is you don't have to plant, you know, you don't want to plant, you're going to have two apple trees. If you're going to plant two, make sure that you've got, you know, maybe choose different ones, but look around the neighborhood, see what else everybody else has. I mean, if you're out on your own on an acreage or something, or out in the middle of the farmland or whatever, you're not necessarily going to have that option. So maybe you do need to plant several, but if you're in a more urban area, somebody else might have something that's within range. That's just fine. So apples and crabs go back and forth. For things like choke cherries, it's good to have another variety. So if you're going to have choke cherries, maybe plant a 1 in 10, you're going to need another variety. But I mean, most of the times people plant choke cherries as a shelter belt. They're not really concerned whether they're going to get, you know, they're not in it for the big fruit production, right? But
not choke cherry jelly.
Well, I mean, it's worth doing it, but
yeah,
I don't think people tend to get really intent on the heavy duty. Pears you basically just need more other varieties of pears, and that's mm-hmm. fine. Apricots, same thing. Pin cherries, you need another variety. High bush cranberry, it'd be good to mix it up. Currants and gooseberries are kind of complicated. They're in that middle ground. Generally, currants, just having one currant isn't enough. You need to have a couple more varieties, mm-hmm. 1 to 2 more varieties. And just having a red currant isn't going to cut it. You're going to need a couple, like another black or whatever. You're going to have to mix it up. Although I think potentially having more than one plant would theoretically work. Things like Hascap, which is pretty new. A lot of people are planting Hascaps. They're ones that you definitely need to have a pollinator in order to get good production. So the other thing to consider with not just having choices for different pollen sources, but you need to make sure that they're blooming at the same time. So you could have two plants and one could bloom and then the other could bloom and then they don't cross because one's done when the other one starts. So Hascaps are like that, where you have to pick your pollinators carefully because the bloom time could be, because there's a new series of Hascap out called the Boreal series. There's three of them. And they're they come on weeks later than the other main ones, like the Aurora and Borealis and Tundra and all these other ones that were released at different times, the Indigo series. You need to have a pollinator that'll fit. Those ones pollinate themselves. These ones, you know, the main Tundra and Borealis ones, they all need to have a different set of pollinators. But if you're buying a Hascup, generally they're selling pollinator types, and there's lots of good charts out there that can show what to use as a pollinator. But
so definitely do your research before.
That's where it gets, it's important. If you're going to do it, plan out which varieties you're going to get. And then, you know, and this is where it also pays to sort of go shopping at somewhere that's going to supply different varieties more than just, you know, there's a pear, there's an apple, go to a place that's going to have a bunch of different options, and they're likely going to have information, but do some research before you go. One of the, we have to talk about, it's the most complicated fruit tree that we grow in the northern climates is plums. And I know that you had questions about plums, and plums are a nightmare. They're tough.
But they're good to eat though.
Sure. I'm not disputing that they're not tasty, but they're just complicated because you have to consider, what species are there? Not just, you know, that's a plum, that's another plum. Will they cross? Because the fact is that it's really complicated. I mean, honestly, I can't say that I completely understand how it goes, but you need to understand, is it a Japanese plum? Is it a Canadian plum? Is it an American plum? Or is it a hybrid of one of those? Because hybrids often don't produce fertile pollen. So that can be, they're not contributing anything other than the fruit, but they need to have a pollinator that'll provide that, or a pollinizer, I guess is the right term. But so keep in mind, like, you really got to look not just at that's a Brook Gold plum or that's a, you know, a whatever plum. Look at the species and see, and then do it. And there's some good information out there on plums, but the fact is you're going to need more than one, and you're going to need to more than one that works together, both in terms of timing and also in terms of species.
So when we're looking at pollinating, is there a certain distance that they need when planting that they need to be apart, like far enough apart or close enough together? Is there or does it depend on the variety that you're looking at for?
It depends on what it is. It just keep in mind that most of these are pollinated by bugs. So bees and other things. So they're going to fly. And so they have to be in range so that the one visits the other, like you'll have the pollinator visiting the other plant. So they should be within range. I saw somewhere that, you know, within 30 meters or 100 feet for some things, and others it could be, you know, it can be a bit further. It just depends on what type of plant it is. Pollinizing and pollination is a complicated thing, but it's something you need to think about if you're putting in certain types of fruit, because you can get really disappointed in 5-10 years and you've never had a fruit. And but keep in mind, it's not always about just the variety. Sometimes, you know, the weather conditions are such that there's poor pollen production, or there's no pollinators out flying, you know, there was a frost or whatever, so there's all these other things. So it really varies. Like, you've got to keep in mind all the factors that affect that. But I think if I were playing around and I was going to go out and mess around with planting a bunch of fruit in my yard, I would make sure to plant several things. Or if I knew that I needed a pollinator, I would plant a couple in a group, like two or three, and then just keep in mind that space wise what I'm going to need. But if I was going to plant bigger trees, I would either make sure that I knew that there were other things that would pollinate within the range, or I would plant a couple. So it's complicated. I don't want to keep saying that, but it is a complicated factor, but there are so many options. I mean, in my community orchard, we planted like over 16 types of fruit in there and over 30 some varieties. Like, so there's a huge assortment just to try. And we're just playing around, seeing what, you know, what'll do well. Some stuff has done really well and other stuff has not. And we're facing, you know, moose coming through browsing. We've got, you know, water issues. We've got everything. And so playing around, and we're just playing around with the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. We planted grapes too, and I think we have two grapes that are alive, but are not producing. So
then now that we're talking about producing, how are we going to get fruit off of the trees and the bushes? Is there tips and tricks for that, or is it time?
I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, pay attention to when they're coming on. I guess one thing that I should note, that a lot of times we pick prematurely. We get so excited and we see color, then we start to pick it and then we're like, oh, that tastes terrible. And then we don't ever pick it again. And sometimes we have to wait for the sugars to accumulate. So sometimes things like sour cherries and Hascap, like we'll pick them, you know, 2-3 weeks early because they start to color up. And then we think, oh, they're ready, but they're not. Because if you open them, they're like the Hascap are green inside, or, mm-hmm. and they taste terrible when they're green. So
what are we looking for the likes of Hascaps? Because even last year, I know myself, I picked them and they were pretty tart. They made you.
Depending on when you picked them, I mean, and two years ago, it was just a cold winter or a cold summer. Mm-hmm. It took forever things to ripen up. Once you start to see color, give them a couple of weeks if you can manage, or taste them every once in a while, just one at a time, just to see, and then say, okay, yeah, that's ready. And then do it with Hascap. You got to watch the birds, because they'll pick up on when they're ready before you will. So you're fighting them. So then you might have to net. If you're going to have Hascap, you might have to net them.
And so just a
small diameter net, like something, can't remember the size, fairly fine net, just because the birds can be amazing how easily they can get through the little holes. Set it on top, but then make sure it's anchored, because they'll get in from the bottom and then they won't ever get out, because they're dumb enough that they're smart enough they can get in the bottom, but they're dumb enough they can't get out. I've seen. And certain flock types of birds are notorious for picking through Hascaps and other things. But yeah, I say, like with picking anything, like just, you know, have a general idea when it's going to be ready, and then just keep an eye on things, and then pick regularly. Like most stuff, like some stuff you can pick through one time. Other times you might pick through, you know, I'd have to pick every few days as things come on gradually.
Yeah.
Like some of the bush stuff, but with apples and things, you might invest in once they get bigger, you might invest in one of those. You can get these basket things on a little basket that's on a stick, and you just go up and you can kind of pop off the apples on the end of a long pole, and then and they're in a little bag or basket that you can kind of pick the high ones and then bring them down safely. Otherwise, it's ladder time. Otherwise, I don't know, or train up your apples, pick your apples such that they have a dwarfing rootstock and they're on a short. They're not going to get that tall. And then prune them to keep them shorter so they don't get massively tall. And there's a lot of the breeding stuff has been working on trying to get smaller, shorter stuff. So something to play around with. There's fruits. Fruit's complicated. So
is there any other information that you want to share with us?
Try it out. I mean, there's lots of different stuff out there. I mean, you don't have to restrict yourself to, you know, you're going to grow fruit, you're going to plant an apple, you know, there's lots of different stuff out there. And because people are so interested in fruit, there's lots more options that are prairie hardy or cold hardy. And, you know, keep watching and trying out stuff. I mean, if you've got lots of space, you know, plant a bunch of different stuff out there. There's new stuff coming on all the time. Like there's hazelnuts being bred right now that are starting to become available. So then suddenly we'll have nuts to deal with, and there's lots of other stuff out there. So, and recognize that if you plant a bunch of stuff, you could be potentially harvesting from, you know, late June, early July, all the way through to the end of September, assuming that we don't have frost at some point in there.
Right.
So lots of different options out there. And I mean, we haven't even dealt with some of the other ones that are some of the easier ones you can push through, like rhubarb. I guess it's, I don't know, I always think of rhubarb as a fruit, but it's, I don't know where it falls. If I eat it in pie, it's a fruit.
That's right.
My opinion.
Great. Yeah.
If you can pie it, it's a fruit. Unless it's chicken. then it's okay.
That's right. Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today with all your information on fruit trees. How can people get a hold of you if they have more questions?
I've got a website, www.spencer-hort-solutions.ca. That's H-O-R-T, Hort. And on there is my contact information, and there's a fair bit of information on other things as well. So you're welcome to check it out.
Perfect. We thank you again, Rob, and we appreciate all the information on fruit trees.
You're welcome. We'll be right back.